This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success. My beautiful guest today is Jessica Gershman, who's the voice behind the Zen-ish Mommy podcast, as well as a passionate believer in the power of self-care. Jessica, I am so excited to have you on the show, truly, because I'm so passionate about the topic that we're going to be talking about today and your podcast show. So welcome.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to it.
I love starting out with what's the why behind everything that you're doing today.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I am a yoga teacher by trade and had a studio for a long time. And I was always so fascinated. Most of my clients were women, on just how little we felt about ourselves and how that was a common thread and how much we really weren't sharing with one another, right? So everybody to everyone else looks like they have all of it together on the outside. And we're left feeling as women, as mothers, that we're the only ones that are struggling. And the fact is, that's not the case, you know, that we're all having this kind of collective experience. And whether you have kids or don't have kids, our lives kind of go through this cycle. And we're all have this common thread of like, life is hard. It's really challenging. And no matter what it looks like on the outside, we're sharing those same kind of suffering experiences. And so for me, the healing path was yoga. That's really was my calling to share that, but it's also mindfulness and meditation. And I wanted to share real stories like the ones we should be having with our girlfriends to let everyone know, hey, we're all in this together. Nobody has it together 100%, no matter what it looks like. And, you know, the more that we're honest with one another about our experience, about our struggles, about the realness, the real, I call it the crumbs in the bottom of the toaster, right? You can't just like that beautiful piece of bread. You've got to like all of it. And the more that we share that, the more it becomes inclusive and not exclusive.
I love that. And it's interesting that I went through somewhat of a healing process with yoga as well. I feel like yoga really took me to the next growth stage. You know, and it was in my late 20s. I was pregnant with my second daughter and she came unexpectedly. I got pregnant 2 months after I gave birth to my first daughter, and I leaned to prenatal yoga to deal with all of it. It was just overwhelming to be a new mom and to be pregnant. And not only did it help me physically, but I feel like mentally, God, it just took me to a whole different level. So I can't wait to dive more deeper into how yoga can help us. But tell me, what's one thing that you figured out in your journey that took you and the projects that you're working on to the next level?
So I've been a consummate entrepreneur. I started a line of anti-cellulite yoga pants a handful of years ago. I had a yoga studio. Since then, I launched a wellness app, and now I have a podcast that I'm really focusing on. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned is to trust your gut and your intuition. And we as women, specifically, like, we have the knowing. We're generally too busy to try to find, you know, listen to those answers. But whenever I was starting something or getting into something that didn't feel good, not that it was hard or not without its challenges, but just something that felt really forced, that was generally my path, guidance, spirit, whatever you want to say, saying, hey, this probably isn't for you. I've still fought against that and proceeded, like starting a clothing line. That was not for me. I had no business being in the fashion industry. And, you know, I did that for a couple of years, got my head beat in. I learned a lot about myself, you know, about what kind of an entrepreneur I wanted to be, what kind of, what my daily life needed to look like. I spent so much time working on a clothing line behind, you know, at the keyboard, just working here, not actually getting to work with my hands and do things. I realized that it was so important for me to A, interact with people, and B, have something that I can touch and feel and mold. And so I think one thing that I've learned the most throughout these last 10 or 12 years of entrepreneurship is really trusting your intuition.
So speaking of trusting your intuition, I've been a serial entrepreneur since literally right after I got my MBA. And I know, and it's crazy because my husband until this day jokes about it. He's like, I don't understand why you got your MBA if you were going to be on your own. I'm like, well, it does help me when I have to seek investors and I know how to do financial projections and all the stuff. But in reality, I could have figured out a lot of things on my own. I really didn't need the MBA. And like you said, you know, you dabbled into the fashion industry. I had the same sort of journey too. I had a shoe company that, you know, we were manufacturing really high-end bridal shoes, and I hated the operations side of things and the manufacturing side of things. I loved marketing and promoting and networking and talking to people. But that part of that business was just stuck with me. It was just like inevitable for me not to be at the factory 7 days a week, because, you know, you go and promote and sell, but then somebody needs to oversee the production. But when I look back at my journey, and it's crazy because I did dabble into a lot of different industries and started, you know, a handful of different companies. And even now I run a service-based company, my marketing agency and my health and wellness brand, my CBD brand. And sometimes it's just, I stop and I'm just like, God, like, and I'm trying to go deep and listen to that voice. I just want to do one thing. I just want to do one thing that is just easy. I feel like I'm so tired of the challenges and the constant, you know, two different industries. It takes a lot to be kept up to, you know, to the latest trends, and especially with marketing and stuff. So I'm going to ask you for advice, actually, from one entrepreneur to the, you know, to another. What advice do you have for people who are very creative and ideas constantly come? You know, obviously we're serial entrepreneurs. That's what we're blessed with. A lot of different amazing opportunities, and we want to jump on everything and do it all. But how do we really hone in and listen to that voice and separate the voice of the ego versus the real voice of the spirit that's talking to us?
And it's funny because being an entrepreneur, you always have like the next great idea, right? It's always coming, and it's really easy to be like, you know, seeing a bright, shiny thing and off to the next one. And it's like, oh, but then I could do that, because you could do everything, right? I think understanding what success means to you is really important. And I got real honest with myself and say, okay, it's easy to say I want financial success, and that, you know, to the outside world means something. You could be a 6-7 figure CEO and beyond. When I looked at like what was most fulfilling, having a yoga studio, it wasn't dealing with schedules and people's personalities and, you know, all of the things, but it was really finding these transformational moments where I could connect with another individual, and that their life was better because of the work that they were doing. And I was able to facilitate that. And when I looked at having a wellness app, which ultimately was fun and great, but there's something about yoga and about that, that needs the physical intimacy, that needs connection, that yes, it's really good to be able to have YouTubes and apps and stuff to be able to practice on our own. But the sense of community that happens from the collective energy of the yoga experience has to be done in person. And so for me, when I sat down, I said, okay, what does success mean to me? And I looked at my podcast that I had at the time and the app that I had at the time and all of these channels that I was running. I said, you know, I feel most fulfilled doing the podcast. I feel like I personally get out just as much as I'm putting in, if not more. And that when I get an email or a review or someone reaches out and says, hey, I listened to that episode, I was feeling the same way. I just had a new baby, or I started this business, or I just went through a divorce and that really resonated with me. I'm like, I'm getting that same fulfillment like I did in the yoga studio. I'm still getting that interaction, that intimacy. And not only do I feel fulfilled, so I had to make a pivotal moment for me in entrepreneurship. And, you know, we have to set the ego aside because not everything works. And it's the art of the pivot and having to be honest with yourself. And sometimes we hold on to things because we, you know, we want it to be a certain way and we want it to be successful. And it isn't always the best time use of our energy and resources. And I said, you know, I'm going to focus subconsciously. I wrote it down, you know, in my projections, and I subconsciously said, I'm going to go work on my podcast. And that's what took off and grew, and the app didn't. And so that made the decision for me that I didn't really have to, and said, okay, this is really what's taking off and where you need to put your focus. And did I call it to me? Probably. I probably said to the universe, hey, this is what I'm really into. This is what I'm going to put all my energy into. And I saw the fruits of that labor. And so I had to, with a little bruised ego and all of the things, you know, let go of the app, tell the members, you know, use that as a learning experience and move on.
Speaking of learning experience. So, you know, a lot of times I'll look back at my different, I guess, entrepreneurial companies, the journeys and what I've learned from it and so on. And I remember there was a time in my life where I literally told myself, I don't know why I had to take on all these challenging. And I literally went into the most challenging industries you can imagine. And I remember a friend of mine specifically telling me, why are you constantly going into the industries that are the hardest? You know, male dominated, difficult, regulated, like CBD, it's so regulated. I got into it to solve my own problem. The company started growing organically. And here I am. Okay, well, it's growing. I might as well put my marketing knowledge into it and grow it. And I'm running the company. And I'm like, but it's not really, you know, ideally, it's not what I'm here to do. I can feel it in my gut. I can feel it. But looking back at everything that I've experienced, I know that it's preparing me for something bigger. And I've realized lately that, like you said, you get so much in return, even though it might, at least for me, it's non-monetary doing the podcast. It's fairly new. I've been doing it for a year with a radio network, and I haven't really promoted it and marketed too much yet. But the reality is I get so much gratification and joy from it, and knowing that I'm sharing things, and whether it's challenges, opportunities, tips, whatever it is, I'm sharing it with other people. And if I can save them time and money and the headache that I had to go through to learn some of these experiences, now looking back, all those challenging businesses that I've had make sense. I'm like, well, if I didn't go through those things and experience it on my own skin, how could I speak about it authentically? So I do think the universe, God, whoever, you know, people believe in, has an interesting way of taking us to our destination. Well, not at the destination point. I don't want to call it the destination point because it's an ongoing journey, but we just have to trust it. We just have to trust and go with it. But there comes a point where when you have kids, it's difficult to just go with the flow, because sometimes my flow is telling me to go take on this big client. And I'm like, well, if I do that, then I'm not going to have time for the kids. So that's where my challenge comes in. And I would love to get your thoughts on what advice do you have when the shining object comes in. But it's also the type of shiny object that can provide revenue, you know, and support you financially. How do you make a decision? How do you stay with your priorities and move forward?
Well, and thank you so much for asking. It is interesting as a mom. And I always say balance, which is like the word self-care, which gives this like very negative connotation, like, oh yeah, life's about balance, la, la, la. But balance is a continuum. So it's not black and white. Balance is very gray. And as a mother, when your children are little, you are it's very physically demanding. They need your time. They need your actual physical presence there. They need hours of the day. They just do. And as your kids mature and age and become more independent and grow and, you know, eventually get to that place where, you know, we've done a good job and they leave, right? That's the point of being a parent. They require more of your emotional energy and less of your physical presence. And so when you look at what success means to you, and coming back to that question, okay, for me as a mother, it's important for me to pick up my children most days. It's important for me to have a family meal together. It may not always be at the same time, and it may look all kinds of different ways based on priorities and schedules and all of the, you know, extracurriculars and things that we have. But what can I take on and what do I need to release that still allows me to do those things, right? So when an opportunity presents itself, being real clear on the why. Are we doing it for our ego? Are we doing it because, you know, maybe we need that financial boost that's going to help, you know, in the long term? Are we doing it because we think we should? You know, that's a good, that's one that, especially as women, you know, we have the guilt. Oh, I need to take this project on, or I should, or this is the right thing to do. And all of those things that, you know, are really fueled by guilt and not actual reality. And it's just sitting down and really, meditation is so great for that. And meditation can be doing some breath work, can be walking outside in nature, just getting in a place, and it looks different for everybody. It doesn't have to be, you know, sitting in an upright position and sitting for 30 minutes. It can be a lot of different things. Yoga is a meditative experience. It's meditation in motion. But that when you can start to clear out that chatter and clear out all of the thoughts and the shoulds and the to-dos and all of that and get real clear. And then I think being able to answer those questions, why am I choosing this or not? What does balance look like? And how is this decision affecting those things? You know, and priorities. For me, my kids still need me. I'm not going to take something on that doesn't allow me to do those things on most days, right? So I'm going to say yes to opportunities and put things in a schedule. I'm going to schedule in my self-care. I'm going to schedule out the time between 3 and 6 o'clock that my kids need me because I pick them up and we do homework and we do extracurriculars and we do dinner and all those things. And the rest of it's kind of fair game within reason, but that keeps me honest as to say, these are the things that matter. This is what's going to fit in my schedule. And then release the rest. And sometimes it's ego that, you know, we want to have the big accolades and we want to have, you know, all of the who's and the ha's and the ra's and everything, you know, for ourselves. But ultimately, if we say yes to something that is based out of guilt or obligation or should have, it doesn't generally feel right. And then when it does come time to fulfill that obligation, it feels really yucky. And I know we've all said yes to dinners, events, speaking engagements, things like that. We're like, oh, I really should do this. Regretted it all. We're like, had anxiety about all the way up into the day of, and then you're looking for ways to get out of it, right? Like, oh.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've all done that, right? And that's that little life lesson of like, okay, if it didn't feel good saying yes right out of the gate, it's not going to feel good, you know, weeks down the road when I actually have to fulfill that obligation.
Yeah. Wow. That's great advice. And I think what really threw me off a little bit is the fact that I'm a mother of 3 right now, and I have 2 teenage daughters in high school and a newborn, a 7-month-old baby. And so I feel like the minute I had him, my everything I knew just went away. Everything I've built, the organization, the scheduling, and, you know, making sure that I have time for my girls, all of a sudden now there's this baby that needs me, to your point, physically. Yeah. And so that just kind of threw me off. And I find myself so overwhelmed that I say yes to more things than ever before. And it's just so weird psychologically. I'm like, what's wrong with me? I should be saying more no than ever before. But here I am thinking this is a good opportunity. So I had to this weekend sit down, stay quiet for a bit, and really work on my wish board, because I was like, some things need to just get off this board, because every time I look at it, I get frustrated that I'm not accomplishing certain things. But then I've accomplished creating this beautiful human being that I need to take care of. So, oh God. Yeah. Interesting.
And your balance looks different right now, yep. Right? Yeah. You're kind of pulled in 2 different directions. Yeah. And it's really interesting. Like, saying yes to something is saying no to something else. So we only have so much to plug into at any one time. And we don't have any more than 100%. Nobody does. And so when you're saying yes to something, something else has to go.
Yeah.
And so it's always that kind of give or take is like, okay, is this opportunity important enough to me physically, socially, emotionally, financially, spiritually, that I'm going to let go of something else? Because we only have so much energy. I mean, that's just the way. There's only so much time in a day, and we have only so much energy to give.
Tell me a little bit more about your podcast. What do you guys talk about? What can the listeners expect to learn from you on the show?
Yeah, I love it. So I just rebranded the podcast. It's the Zen-ish Mommy Podcast. It was the Mom Slow Down Podcast. And I really thought that was more inclusive because Zen, like balance, is a continuum. I said, I may never reach enlightenment. You know, once you've been on that journey, it's like, okay, sometimes I feel Zen. Sometimes I feel really present with my kids, really present in my profession, in my job. I'm focused. I'm right there. Sometimes I am all over the place. Yeah. Hot mess express, all of the things. And I wanted to give the listeners and the women out there to be like, we each have a little bit of this in each of us. We each have a little Zen. We each have a little crazy. We each have a little of authentic, a little bit of authenticity and a little bit of insecurity. We're all of it. Like that's what makes it beautiful and having this whole human experience. And the one-on-one conversations are like the ones I think we should be having with our girlfriends. Like I'll never forget my best girlfriend for years told me she was having the best sex of her life with her husband. And I'm like, man, well, there must be something wrong with me, you know, and I'm walking around. And then I come to find out that was not the case at all. You know, I was like, you're my best friend. And you totally like lied. I was like, let's be honest about our experience. Because here I am thinking, you know, you're having orgasms till the cows come home and, you know, life is explosive for you and it's just easy. And I'm just, you know, as we do, like, well, there must be something wrong with me, obviously, you know? So I want to have these conversations so that we as women, number one, don't feel alone. Two, we can educate and empower ourselves to make the best choices to have the life that we really want. So whether, you know, I cover a whole bunch of plant medicine, I cover sex and blowjobs and relationship and marriage and parenting and how we deal with inherited trauma and all of the things. And then what's so great about season four, I'm adding every week mindfulness, meditation, tips that you can actually use, actionable tips that you can say, okay, let me take all this and let me put it into practice.
I love it.
Yeah, you know, because that's really at the end of the day, joy happens in the moment that we're really present. Mm-hmm. Suffering happens when we live in this crazy thing in our head. And I've said this to everyone is like, I don't want to know what goes on in your head. You definitely don't want to know what goes on in my head. It's scary in there, but we're all in that same boat. And through yoga, through meditation, through that practice for me was the way for me to be present and to truly experience joy. And that happens in the present moment.
Amazing. And I'm so happy that you're sharing that you're taking so much time out of your schedule to share that with other women. I just wish I had your podcast accessible to me when I was in my early 20s. I'm being very honest with you.
Me too. My early 20s were tough.
Yeah.
A lot of suffering. But again, had I not had that suffering in my early 20s, I wouldn't have found yoga in the same place that you did after the birth of my daughter, really looking for this place to find salvation and to grow and to be in my 40s and say, okay, wait a minute, there's a better way.
I love that. What's one thing that's good and one thing that's bad in I guess the podcast space, right now?
Well, and good and bad are such an interesting label. Challenges, I think, are just the absolute mass of information out there. Really finding listeners that resonate with you. And there's a lot of podcast chatter and there's a lot of, it's not set up in an industry like where it's searchable, like YouTube is. There are platforms that are coming out to making so that listeners could say, hey, I'm into finding out about inherited trauma and being able to type that in and pulling up podcasts that cover that topic. So that's not mainstream yet, but I think that is coming. What's great about it is the access of information that we have to truly be our own best self-advocates, that we have to be ones that are out advocating for ourselves, for our rights, for our health, for the rights of our family and our children. And there's so much information out there. And what used to be 50 years ago is we could go to the doctor and we just trust that opinion. And that was the way it is. It's just not that way anymore because there's bias and politics and classism and socialism and all the things that goes into it. And so we have to really find what matters to us, take opinions from all across the board, and then be able to create our own so that we can ask for what we want and get what we need.
Thank you. That's amazing. How can the listeners get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. So check me out on thezenmommy.com. Sign up for our newsletter. I'll be offering exclusive podcast content that won't get released on that newsletter. I also send out yoga classes and recipes because I'm a home chef. I went to culinary school in my free time as one of my paths of craziness that I was going to go into. And definitely check out the Zen-ish Mommy podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for having your show. I'm going to have my daughters start listening to you. I feel like if they start listening to you at this age, they'll be so ahead when they're in their 30s and 40s. So thank you for the amazing work and for your time on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Good luck.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.